What is this one?
What's going on? This is another one. We are going to hopefully do some outtakes and some extra shit. I guess we're just going to call it that. Hot takes and anything extra and extra shit. It's funny. As I was going and I was looking at the group, because I was like editing the last podcast, I was like, yo, this is dope. I see why people like the podcast and shit. You can say your own and all the other dumb shit. Mm-hmm. But I think the best part, because you can add music and all that other shit, like, damn, like, it's a big deal. So
I was playing around with it earlier because I was like, what else could I use this for?
Bro, this is great. Like,
yeah,
it's so weird coming from like the era where we used to just use like TI-83 calculators, and I know I'm dating myself or whatever.
Right,
exactly. So, imagine going from that, because I remember in high school this one girl, Lisa, she would go and she'd be like, oh well, you know, I got my new Sprint cell phone. She had the little flip phone with the front-facing camera on Sprint, and it had the walkie-talkie shit on the side. Mind you,
oh, shit, I remember that.
Yeah, it's like 2004, 2005, and she thought she was hot shit. Fast forward to, like, now, bro, I don't even know where, like, my laptop is. My laptop is somewhere in the house, but I don't use that. I remember when we used to go on, like, AOL, Instant Messenger, but, like, you know, how old are you? You know, what is it? ASL and all that other shit.
Self-location.
Yeah. I remember when we used to do shit like MySpace. Like, it's so funny. I know you're going to laugh at me about this. Like, my sister, family members clown me about this. I refuse to sign into MySpace because I don't want my last login to change. That's just some shit that...
I don't think I even ever had a MySpace account.
Bro. Bro, I was
MySpace was like, I think I was in middle school.
Bro, I was on MySpace hard. Like, my top eight at the time was, like, the girl I was dating, and then it was a whole bunch of chicks that I was hoping I could leave her for. It
sounds weird. Shit.
It's the honest... it's the honest to God truth. That's just exactly what it was, man. So now...
I think I made a black planet at one time.
Here's what fucks me up the most. I met that ex on Black Planet. Like, I remember, like, a lot of the things that now could have, you know, if I used the same shit I used in social media 10, 15 years ago, I could have a job at some company making, like, $130,000. Bro, like, do you know that Black Planet was literally nothing but HTML codes and then? But nobody's
taking
that. I don't
even know what coding. Yeah. I barely know what shit is now.
Yeah, bro. People have told me, like, oh, Greg, you should be into coding and this. And I'm like, yo, I'm like social media and like talking my shit. The HTML codes, the only reason I did that is because I wanted the little glossy font. Like, if I knew I could get it, I'll go and do that. Like, now, in 2018, everybody's about Google Analytics and doing this and that and the third. I'm like, yo, I just want the clicks. Like, we got podcasters out here, but like, hey, go to Patreon and do this, go and do this and do that. Me, I'm focused on if it's going to make me money, and two, as long as I have fun with it. And the older I get, I feel like that's just how it has to be. My mom and I were talking earlier, and she's like, oh, well, Craig, like, you know, are you doing what you're doing to make you happy? Or are you doing what you're doing to make money? I was like, the money. And right. For me, I can easily go and make money and not be happy, because I know for a fact that there's a time that I can check out and be like, you know what? That was the end of my day, and now I can go on with my life. But that's why I'm probably on, like, you know, the group chats and stuff so much, because it gives me a moment to, like, get the fuck away from the normal 9-to-5 shuffle that we got, that everybody has.
Well, that's
so,
what the fuck I was doing. I had never even known that GroupMe was that popular.
Uh-huh.
Because I met Ross at work. We were working together at Harford County Planning.
Uh-huh.
And the other black young person there.
Mm-hmm.
So when we met each other, he was like, you know, oh, I'm going to add you to this group. And it wasn't the cool kids. It was something else. Then he, some all these groupings he was in, I was like, I didn't even know grouping was just popping. Like, exactly. When I joined the Masons, they put me in a group chat that I ended up leaving because it was stupid. And then when I became an Alpha, they ended up putting us in all these different group chats that I ended up leaving because they were stupid. Yeah. And then now I'm like, damn, it's like chats with like 500 and 600 and thousands of people. What is that?
I was in a group. For some reason, I was in a group today. And they were like, oh, well, there's 303 members. I was like, yo, I don't know 303 people I actually want to talk to all day. More importantly, be in a room with. Like, I feel like the older we get as people, like, the less we actually want to socialize, which is ironic because
been that way for the longest. I hate people. And it's not even, I don't even know if it's so much that I hate people, but I like being by myself. And that's how I ended up all this BS between my job and my roommate. It was like, I should have just trusted that I knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate certain things. And I should have just stuck with what I knew.
Well, it's funny, like, because, you know, you and I, we joke all the time. We're like, oh, we got the same last name. So naturally, we got to be family. And that's just how I feel about it. And then, like, the more I learn about you, I'm like, damn, like, you know, he not only has traits that I have, but it's one of those things I'm like, oh, like, I'm not the only one. Like, I'm not the only one that feels like when I want to talk and I want to have a situation where I have a conversation with people, I can have that. And then I can go and just be by myself. And I think that's what's the beauty in the whole GroupMe thing and the group chats is when you actually kind of, you can go. Like, you know what? I actually don't want to fuck with y'all today. I'm having a bad day. You know what? I don't really want to be around people. And then those days you're like, hey, you know what? I haven't been outside for a while. Y'all are having a kickback. Mm-hmm. Y'all are having some type of social setting that I want to be around. You know what? I'm going to show up. And
even the social, like the kickbacks, I think the first one I went to was, the first one I went to was from the Young Black. I don't know if you were in a group with Dalala.
Yeah.
You know who Dalala is?
Yeah.
So she hosted, Chris hosted this game night, Krishana. She hosted some kind of game night at her apartment, and we went to that, and I had to drink in order. I was like, I don't know who these people are. I don't know where I'm going. I said, Ross, what time are you getting there? So I can make sure I get there exactly when you get there so I know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I ended up taking some of my friends, and I was like, all right, well, this, and they were worse than me. So she was like, all right, well, we're ready to go. I was like, cool, me too. Let's go. Like, you know, it takes a lot for me to want to go and be around people. When I had moved to Alabama a couple of years ago, and I was by myself. I didn't know anybody until I found that my cousin was actually doing her doctorate down there.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that I didn't know anybody. I was by myself. And at first, I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. But then I was like, man, it's kind of cool.
Yep.
Like, I had a huge apartment by myself. I would turn my phone off on Fridays when I get off work, go get some margaritas, some tequila. I would just zone out. And I would have my one-man karaoke, singing by myself, watch movies, movie night. It was, like, the best. It was awesome.
Yeah. It's so weird, man. Like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, you know, this nothing wrong with being an extrovert for the most part and then, like, transition it into being an extrovert. It doesn't mean that you don't like people because, honestly, I love people, but I love them when I actually want to be around them.
Right.
The same situation with, like, what you said with party. It's one of those things where, hey, I love being around people and being in a setting. Just don't talk to me. Like, I'm just here for the moment and the vibe. Like, I'm here to just be here so I can say I did something. But a lot of people don't know the difference. And like me, I can literally sit in a room with people and I can socialize with the people I came with or the people that I know. And I don't have to get to know everybody else that's there. I'm like, you know what? Y'all are here and y'all are making it fun because y'all are turning up, y'all are drinking. And I see you. Just stay where you are. Like, just stay where the fuck you are. And oh my God, it's like, I used to be that outgoing guy where every time I went out, I would meet a new friend. Like, my phone book, because I have a really weird problem where I don't delete contacts because for some unknown reason, like, people will come up 4 or 5 years later, and I'm like, yo, I don't even know who this person is, but I'm luckily, you know, I luckily saved them as, you know, Joe Bob from said bar, even though this bar may have shut down because they were serving drinks to underage girls, because this happened. Yeah, trust me. This is DC, mind you. So this is what it is. But, you know, you have a situation where you end up meeting somebody, and then I'll run into that same person, like, four, and this motherfucker's on Congress. Like, they are someone. You're like, oh, like, I could not only have a job with you, I could be working, making, like, the money. Like, not just money, but the money. Like, the money that white people tell us that they make, that we're like, you make that to do nothing. I want that. Mm-hmm. Like, so... I used to go out of my way to go and meet these people because it's something that my mom used to always tell me, like, hey, go and network. Like, we've always been taught as Black people to, like, hey, network with the people that you have. That way, you know, it makes it better for you, you know, down the line. But for me, when I hit 30, I was like, yo, I don't want to network. I feel like the friends that I have are the friends that I have, and the people that I meet, if they genuine enough, I'm going to either see them again, our exchange numbers, and we just hit it off from there. But with social media and everything, like, you don't get that anymore. You have that situation where it's like, oh, well, people will give you their Instagram name before they give you their phone number. So
right.
I've had friends, like, that have gone on dates because they're still single, and they're like, Greg, man, I went out with this girl, you know, super attractive, blah, 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 blah. But the girl's not taking him seriously because, no shit, she's gone on 4 dates this week. She don't give a fuck about you. She's like, hey, thanks for the meal. But it didn't click out that way. That's why when we were talking in the podcast earlier, I was asking, I was like, hey, how do you feel about women who go and say, hey, you know, I can cook, but you know for a fact, Tony, like, you cook as well. So when you're trying to compare the two, it's like, I know for a fact I do this not as a profession, not as a hobby, but it's something that I take very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that situation, like, damn, like, do you actually want to go and meet new people that you aren't really, I won't say connected with, but you don't know exactly where that's going to lead off to, because...
And it's so, I think that, and I've been telling people, like, it's so hard to meet, for me, to meet people, because, like, when I met people before, like, you meet your friends in school, in, uh-huh, in college, and it's like, my field is not a predominantly young Black field, so it's like, mm-hmm, it's weird, you know. I'm surprised I even met Ross, and it's like, you know, it's hard to meet people, you don't meet people like that age, or even that are Black, you know what I'm saying, like somebody that you would want to say, hey, I just saw you all day at work, but let's go hang out, you know. So it's weird meeting people that you actually want to hang out. I think the older I get, mm-hmm, the less, it's definitely the less I want. It's day by day, I don't want to see nobody.
Yep.
I don't want to talk. Like, people don't even know where I am right now. And mm-hmm, I think that is amazing. Like, no one knows. I just said, I'm leaving Maryland. I'm out. And everyone's like, where are you going? I'm not telling. Well, yep. Where are you? I'm not telling. People have been calling me since I got down here, and nobody knows where I am. And it's freeing to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no one, and it's crazy because when people don't know where you are, they also don't call you, they don't contact you.
Exactly.
So it's like, no one is, like, you know, when I forget out here, people are like, well, where is he? Like, it was a while, people were texting me a lot, but I didn't respond. And I was like, oh, well, no one hits me up anymore, which is good. But like, I like it, you know.
And that circles back to the people that you know that fuck with you versus the people that are just there just because they're like, hey, it's a convenience. Like, hey, I have friends in this place, this place, this place, this place. So, mm-hmm, like, are those people really down for you? Like, if something actually happened to you today or tomorrow, you can say, hey, I know for a fact, you know, this person's going to contact me. Or you have the other friend that's like, they see on a milk carton, like, hey, Tony's disappeared for a fucking month. Like, oh, I know Tony. Like, it's all about, like, really not who you know now. Because remember the whole saying was like, it's not what you know, but who you know. Now it's like,
mm-hmm,
aim from the person you know. So if you don't have, yeah, any merit in their life, it's like, oh, well, I get something from having that friendship with them. They don't really give a fuck. And for you, like, you know, because I know how you are. You'll disappear for a while, and then you come back around. I'm like, oh, well, that's just Tony. And I'm.
But you know what's crazy is that people, you say you get that, right? We have never hung out or anything.
Exactly.
People I've been friends with for, like, years, like, they'd be like, they take it personal. They'd be like, well, you don't talk to me. You haven't been talking to me for a week. And I was like, well, don't feel bad. I haven't talked to anyone for a week. Exactly. I just called my mom yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll take it, and it's take it so personal. And I'd be like, everybody knows that. Sometimes I just need my breathing space.
Mm-hmm.
And don't say, when I'm ready to pop back up, I will pop back up. So many of my friendships have ended because people don't, they think that they don't understand it. They like, well, you just disappear. You, one girl, she told me, she was like, you yo-yo our friendship. And I was like, really? I think I'm around very consistently.
Exactly.
And she was like, sometimes you want to be around, sometimes you don't. I think that's most people. Sometimes you want to be around and sometimes you don't. And I don't, it was just boggling to me, the people. I'm like, I thought that it was a very well-known thing that everybody knows. Hey, when I'm going through my thing, like, leave me alone. Like, let me have my space for a little while. When I feel it, I'll come back. And I was like, it just was crazy. I was like, man, these are people that I thought that we were friends for years. I'm like, you really don't even know me.
Yeah, but do you feel like when people, like, that you think that are your friends, like, I won't say you don't think that they know you, because they know you as the person that you are, but do they understand, like, there's a lot of, I won't say layers to you, but shit that you deal with that's outside of your friendship that they never consider? Because I know for a fact for me that even though they are my friends and people that I've known for X amount of years, you know my, like, the intricate details, like the girls and the, you know, the stuff that's the really grimy things that if it ever came up, like, it would be dirt for them more than just information that they knew. But do you know me more as a friend?
I don't trust people enough for, like, I have a friend. She's, like, my best friend. She's back in Maryland. And mm-hmm. we've been best friends since we were 12. And we met because I told her that we had the same unibrow. I said, we're going to be best friends forever. She was like, what? I said, we have the same eyebrow. And we've been best friends. Since then, we've been best friends in middle school. We went to middle school together, high school together, college together. She lives up the street from me. Uh-huh. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've been best friends forever. And for her even, I think that she gets it. And I always say that whatever girl I'm dating or married, if me and Shaquilla are still friends, she has to meet Shaquilla, because Shaquilla is the only friend that I have.
Exactly.
And even Evan, like, me and Evan haven't been friends for a very long time, mm-hmm. but, like, we've gotten really close in time that we've met each other, and it's like, Evan gets it because she's the same way. She don't want to be around people all the time.
Exactly.
Sometimes she don't answer her phone. Like, she likes to go off. She's the same person. And, like, Shaquilla, like, you know, she gets it, but it's only, like, I think recently over the last 5 or 6 years, Shaquilla's like, okay, this is Anthony. This is who he is. This is what happened. And she's the only person that, like, if I don't text her for a week, she gets it. And when I'm ready to text her, I'm like, hey, I was just in the moment. I'm in my moment. Like, well, let me be in my moment. It don't help me if you just keep bothering me. Like, leave me alone. Yeah. And my roommate, like, I should have known. I think that I need to understand myself better, because me and my roommate, our living situation was horrible because we don't know each other. Like, we didn't really know each other before. Like, we thought we were friends, we're frat brothers, but we didn't know each other.
Yeah.
And you move in with somebody and you see their real colors and they see how they really are. And it was horrible. So yeah, like, meeting friends for me is like, there's so much that you have to unpack that it's easier for me not to, like, people who know, like, Shaquilla, like, that friendship that we have comes with years of us being around each other. Like, no one else is going to ever get that.
Yeah.
And, like, that's too much for me to give somebody else.
And that's what's so funny, because I think people don't understand the dynamic of actually being not only just true friends with someone, but just giving them the space that they deserve at the same time. Like, I got from what you just said, like, sometimes you just need you. Like, you have your friends, but your friends should be able to understand the balance between needing them in the friendship and needing yourself. Just own space. So even with your roommate, it's like, hey, like, I get it, we roommates, but you still don't even understand, like, where I am. Like, there's a lot of shit with me that you're never going to get just because we live under the same roof. But, you know, I could tell you, but you still wouldn't understand. So when you have your friend,
like,
the
stuff back home, like, it was like in Baltimore, I just think it's a horrible city, by the way. And I get it now when people say that it drains them and they can't be there. And I was like, my job was super stressful. My roommate was a jackass. It was like somebody always in the house. Some girl always spending the night. Like, groups of people always in the house. But he would tell people, like, oh, Jesus, Anthony, man, don't like people. I'm like, if you know that I don't like people, why are there always people here? Like, I think that you're doing, and I told him, I said, I think you're doing this for a reaction. I don't know why, but stop it.
Yeah.
And
well, go ahead.
I was like, you know, like, to me, it was like, you know, we're supposed to be friends, supposed to be this brothers, and here it is, you're making a situation that doesn't have to exist. Like, then I started having anxiety attacks between that and work, and I'm like, you're not helping, you're contributing, you're making it worse. There's always people here, I'm going insane.
Yeah, but I think that's one of those situations, and it's not your fault at all, because everybody has that friend. I don't want to say that they haven't grown up, but they have that friend that they feel like the way that they live their life is dictated by the people who see them living. So you have, like, that friend or that roommate who is like, oh, I have to have people around in order to let them know that I'm having fun. So when they have a girl over, when they have their friends over and they're partying and stuff like that, that gets them off. They're like, you know what? This is fun. Like, people are around me, so naturally I'm supposed to be having fun because they're here.
But that's but how he is. You know what I'm saying? He's very extroverted. And he said that he was like me, if I'm going to something, I want to be by myself. Him, if he's going to something, he needs everybody around him. So that's when I was like, well, our lifestyles are clashing. And then I'm like, I'm out of school. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I've been out of school, got a master's degree. I'm working professionally. Yeah. School's not anywhere in sight anymore for me. For him, you're still an undergrad. You're smashing these college-age girls. You're impressing these college-age girls with our nice inner-city apartment, the Beethoven. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're impressing them, but it's like, you're impressing children. You're almost 30, and you're impressing 22-year-olds. Like, this is not something to be proud of.
Yeah, but at what point is enough enough? Because everybody has that friend that is like your, you know, your ex-roommate, where it's like, you're doing all this, but you're doing it for people who haven't seen. That's like if you went on a date with a person who has never been to the restaurant that you took them to. Like, you know, long story short, I went on a date, this was years ago, and I had never personally been to this restaurant, but the person I took on the date thought that this was a great place to go. So they're like, hey, like, why don't we go to this place, blah, 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 blah. So we go, and I was like, oh, I'm going to order the same shit I would order at the restaurant that I thought was fancy that, you know, hey, it's something to do. So we end up going to the restaurant. I ordered the same thing I would order at any other restaurant. And I swear to God, it's not chicken tenders before you even think this. So trust me. First of all, I'm Black. Second of all, like, I know for a fact that if I'm going on a date with someone, I'm going to try to order something that's going to balance the budget. I'm going to order a $60 steak. I'm going to order a $26 salad. That's just how it is as a Black man. I hope that anybody actually listening to you and I talking can understand that concept. But saying that to say this, I go and, you know, I order what I was ordering. She orders what she orders. And, you know, I kept it in budget. And she says to me, she was like, oh, well, you don't understand the, you know, the dating dynamic. I was like, I don't even understand your dynamic. First of all, I'm paying first and foremost, and secondly, like, I'm to all of this. So going back into the conversation with, like, the roommate, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, well, your roommate is doing all of this for someone, and even know what he's doing it for. Like, oh, I'm doing this for the women that are here, and I'm doing this because this is what I think is what is acceptable, but it's really not. Like, you can gauge what's acceptable by honestly just being the person that you are. If your roommate was one of those guys who just felt like he, you know, he had his dick in his pants, he's like, hey, you know, I'm going and I got these people in my apartment and this is our shit. Look at it. Like, the TV's mounted on the wall and there's a couch and it's not a futon and some shit like that.
And here's the part that was the aha. And I kept telling people this. I was like, this man came to the apartment. Like, we got the apartment because of my income.
Oh, boy.
I made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were working this part-time job. So when we moved, like, you wouldn't have even been able to live on your own. And the thing is that I did him a favor because I asked him, I, you know what I'm saying? I was like, you know, He was like, well, I want to get my dad's house. I'm like, well, at age 29, you should. And, you know, I said, well, you know, I'm going to move, and I'm going to be making, like, $15,000 more than what I – well, $20,000 actually more than what I was making before.
Exactly.
I said it would probably be better for me to spend less on rent. I was like, you know, do you want to be roommates? And he was like, yeah. So he was working his part-time job at the school. Jeez. And I was like, you know, we can move in together. He called me one day while I was in the kitchen packing, and he was like, I think I just got back from Cuba. Or no. Yeah, I just got back from Cuba, and he was like, oh, I meant my mom told me I should ask you this, but you don't mind me having females at the house. I said, no, I expect it. I said, as long as they're not spending the night.
Exactly.
And I said, I only signed up for one roommate. That went out the window. That was my only stipulation. And it was always constantly people spending the night. And my thing is, if you couldn't handle that, you should have just said it at the time, because I just kept living by myself. Like, I was okay being by myself. Well, I thought that I was doing you a favor by letting, you know, by us moving in together. Well, and then I'm like, you didn't move with anything. The TVs are mine, the decorations are mine, the pots and pans are mine, everything in the house is mine. Only thing he came with was his dresser and his air mattress.
Jesus.
Like, the TV, the couches, I bought them. I paid for the U-Haul to get the stuff to the apartment. Like, you're saying, like, you're so unappreciative, like, and you think that I'm being mean much when you can have parties. And, like, I would go home every weekend because I knew that it would be a party at the house.
So basically, this living a lie for just, honestly, for the extent of y'all living together. That is weird, man. Like, maybe it's because I was in a situation where I had a roommate, but that's because I'm just selfish as fuck, but that...
I tell everybody, don't get a roommate. Like, and then what, there's a gotcha part. So then it was like, the last couple weeks we were roommates, I was just kept having anxiety. All the, my job was just crazy. Coming home was crazy. I didn't have a way out. Like, that was the bad part. It was new people to the point that I could predict it. It was a new person walking in the house every single day. And then I was like, I went to Disney. I was like, let me just get to Disney. The day before I had Disney, I was washing dishes. And some dude walked in and was like, oh, what's up, dog? Who are you?
Oh, you know, see, no.
So I was like, where did you come from? Where's my roommate?
yeah.
And then it's crazy because even when I was having these episodes, anxiety episodes, not once did he say, hey, is everything okay? Do you need anything? Da-da-da. Nope. Like, I was packing. I said, let me just hurry up so I can get to Disney. Like, I got my car and left, went to Disney, had a great time. I'm on the road back, called my cousin. She's asking me about him, and I'm like, I got this feeling like I'm going to get back, and all his stuff is going to be gone, and he's going to be moved out. She's like, why would he do that? I don't know. I got back, and they had moved all his stuff out.
Of course.
I texted him, I said, you're paying for the rent. I don't care where you are.
Exactly.
You know you're going to pay for the rent. And he's like, well, I'm coming back. Don't worry about it. I said, you're not coming back. You moved all your stuff out. And then I said, you didn't have the decency to say, give me a heads up. And I had texted him like a few days before because I needed my insurance card because I went to the hospital in Florida. And I'm like, you couldn't even tell me at that time, but hey, I'm about to move out. You leave me a note on the driveway for it.
Oh, boy.
I need a break. Nigga, we're not in a relationship. What you need a break from? Pay these bills.
Yeah. Not only is the friendship done, it's one of those things where it's like everything is a business at that point. Like, whatever you're saying, yeah. I don't care. Just pay for what the fuck you're supposed to pay for. But I'm sorry. I wish I was your roommate.
I was like, you owe me for BGE. You owe me for Comcast, which you never paid before. I said, and then I don't even know what happened to the rent or to the apartment for it, because I had to turn in my resignation for my job. And I said, I'm leaving, moving to Georgia. And within a week, I had packed my apartments and left. And I sold everything in that week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the couches, everything. I even left a TV in the hallway of our apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't fit in my car. Like, so somebody got a free 50-inch or 48-inch flat-screen smart TV.
Exactly.
And I was like, you know, I told my apartment complex, I said, I'm leaving the country. I'm moving to Panama.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but you all can call him. Because he's the one that needs to, you know, he abandoned the apartment.
Exactly.
I said, well, we vacated the premises. So she was like, okay, well, you know, you all are still responsible. I said, I'm not responsible for anything. I'm leaving the country.
Exactly.
There's nothing you can do to me. I'm leaving the country.
So, exactly.
So I don't know where he is. I don't know what happened, but the apartment's gone. And I'm like, you know.
So basically, this dude literally went and spent X amount of months going and fucking around, being with women, blah, blah, blah. Basically playing like, you know, Big Pop-Up, like, oh, well, I'm going to go and do my thing and be with everybody. But then at the end of the day.
So the thing is that our apartment, we live in the Beethoven, we lived in the city. I don't even like living in the city. Not my thing.
I hear that.
But the apartment was dope. Like, it had these huge windows that you could sit stuff on. Mm-hmm. The kitchen was dumb small, which obviously as a cook, you know, I hate that shit.
Yeah.
The bedroom was, my room was huge. Mm-hmm. I had these floor-to-ceiling windows on, well, waist-to-ceiling windows. The ceiling's like 12 feet tall. It was a very nice apartment to him because this was his first apartment. So for our first apartment, apartment was dope. But I told him, I said, my apartment in Alabama, I had a 1,200-square-foot apartment, two bedrooms, two bathrooms, hardwood floors, floor-to-ceiling windows. So this is not that great.
Exactly.
And Shaquilla was like, yeah, your apartment in Alabama was way better than this. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? Like, that says a lot because our apartment was dope. But that was him. He was like, kept hitting. All his friends lived at home. That was the other thing.
Oh.
All your friends live at home. So, you know, to them, it seems like he's doing well, like, you know, but at the same token, your people aren't understanding. He's not here on his own merit and money.
Exactly.
Like, he's here living off of refund checks, living off of whatever part-time money he has.
Mm-hmm.
He don't, like me, I don't get a refund check. I make a salary.
Exactly.
I'm out that life, out that school, undergrad life. I'm past that.
Yep.
Like, and people think, I guess I don't understand. For me, it's like I live with a child. Like, you don't have money for food. Oh, I get some food. You can't cook, and you don't cook. So, oh, I'll cook. You're not cleaning the apartment. Oh, I clean. Like, I'm cleaning for your guests. Your guests come over here and dirty up my apartment. I got to clean back to them.
Because you don't want to live in a dirty-ass place. Like, that's what that is.
And I don't. Everybody knows they've been in my places. I don't live in no dirty-ass place.
Man.
And I be telling people, like, when you get a roommate, if you decide that you have to have a roommate, either move in with a complete stranger.
Yep.
Or you got to 180% know and make outline by who you're living with.
I would never, ever get roommate again. I'm going to tell you a funny story. So one of, like, my friends who before, you know, basically he and I are no longer friends because once I, you know, I got the whole wedding thing down the line and all that, he decided, you know, this shit was about him. And I told him, I was like, yo, like, the wedding is about us. And basically, long story short, he's just a really shitty friend. So if he hears this, he knows it because, I mean, but he has always lived with roommates. Now, mind you, he's 33. I feel like at a certain point in life, you got to be like, hey, roommates just, I don't want to say they aren't the shit, but if you have one roommate, I can live with a roommate because you have your life, they have their life, and then it's like, hey, we already know, hey, it's 11 o'clock. Let me just go ahead and whoever is in the house is in the house. Whoever is not, they won't be coming in. Him, on the other hand, he's still trying to be 22. And I told you he's in his 30s. So
yeah,
I go to his house one day and we're supposed to go out on a Friday night. And hey, go and party. We're going to do, I'm like, I thought we were just going to go get a couple drinks at the bar, and then we're just gonna live like normal people who are our age do. Like, I'm not out here chasing. I'm not doing anything that's just out of my normal, you know, routine. So he tells me, he's like, oh, he has three roommates. I'm like, wait, you got three roommates? There's you, and then there's not only three. He has three roommates. He has a three-bedroom apartment, mind you, and it's on a in DC. It's on U Street, mind you. So, three-bedroom apartment on U Street. And you know,
too many people.
Yeah. Not only is it too many people, I asked him how much he pays in rent. And he's like, oh, I pay, you know, I think he told me he paid $1,600. I was like, so you pay for a bedroom? For the bedroom. So I was kind of fucked up about that one. I was like, yo, like, I don't know how many people may or may not listen to this podcast. I don't know how many people pay rent who lives at home or whatnot. $1,600 for maybe a 220 square foot anything is a lot of fucking money. You're basically telling me you're paying not only a mortgage, but you're paying a mortgage. You're paying someone's car note. utilities. Like, do you know Fios is at least $109 a month? And when I say at least, that's because they give you the whole they give you the whole $79 plan, but after all the taxes and shit, it's about $109. Like, don't let them fool you. However, when he tells me, he's like, he paid $1,600. I screamed. I was like, yo, I pay $1,600 now for my apartment, and I have a two-bedroom, two-bath. I don't have children. So if one day I just wake up in the morning, I'm like, you know what? I got an extra bathroom I can go brush my teeth and wash my ass in. I can do that. If I have family members that come out of town and they're like, hey, like, I don't want to pay $180 for a hotel, you know what? I got a guest bedroom for you. My kitchen, I wish it was a little bit bigger, like you said. However, I'm only paying $1,600. Even though I'm still paying what the mortgage would be for a home, right now, I don't have the, you know, the 15 to 20 grand that they want to just throw away, because this is obviously D.C. So I asked him just straight out. I was like, where do you live? And his answer to me was so fucked up. I was like, okay, clearly he's going to be that one friend of mine who's going to be like 45 and still don't get it. He's going to be like the Leonardo DiCaprio who's like, you know what? As long as I'm fucking, it doesn't matter. Like, he's like, oh, well, you know. Yeah. He's hoping he hits gold with like some girl up being with, and he's, oh, well, I'm going to be with her forever, blah, blah, blah. Cool. So I asked him, I was like, so are you planning on getting married? He was like, no, I'm just going to knock somebody up. I was like, that is the most disrespectful shit I've ever heard in my life.
That sounds like some shit that my roommate said. Yeah. And it's funny because he gets these girlfriends, and I've been trying to figure out what makes him so appealing to people, because I'm like, you're almost 30, you're still in school.
Mm-hmm.
You... And my point, I was like, I'm not bringing nobody over here, because how do I look being 29 with a fucking roommate?
Yep.
And I'm like, you know, he has a girlfriend, then he's cheating on the girlfriend. I'm like, I thought you were in a relationship with such and such. He's like, yeah. I'm like, so when the relationship don't work out, he act like he all sad and heartbroken. And I'm like, do you say they're not working out because you cheat on people? Like, you treat people like trash?
Of course.
And he's like, no, I'm always be cheating. He told me in the car, he's like, I'm always going to cheat. That's just how I am. What's the point of being why would you want to bring somebody into your foolishness? Because you don't know what it is that you want in life.
But if this is just you and I talking, you know, man to man, obviously I'm sure people will hear this later, but this is just me talking to you. There are a lot of men who they know what the fuck they want. They're just not going to tell the women that they sleep with. And it's fucking weird because I've seen it. And honestly, like, truth be told, I've been that guy. So for being someone who's been there, transition from being who's like, hey, like, I like you and what we're doing is fun, but instead of telling her like there's no way that this is going to go forward, but instead I'm just let this play out, like, to see other people do it and you're like, damn, like, that's what it looks like, that's really kind of fucked up. Like, seeing my friend
from an age perspective, like, yeah. I think that some of the games that people like to play is like, you're not serious about where it is that you want to go in life. And I'm like, you're not serious about what you want to do. And that's why most things, like most people who are like that, live shitty lives. Like, nothing works out for them. And I asked him, I said, do you think that a lot of stuff that's not working out for you, like your energy is coming back because you treat people a certain way?
Mm-hmm. But a lot of people just...
I tried to tell them, like, you can't rely on getting pussy all the time to make things better. Like, it looks desperate and it looks sad. But, and I told him, I said, I don't for a second want you to think that I have an ounce of jealousy for what you have. I said, because no girl I would date would ever be comfortable getting smashed out at age almost 30 on an air mattress with somebody that has a roommate.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying.
Who the fuck? Okay. Like, the fact that you even threw the air mattress in there kind of fucked with me, because I'm like,
that was good on the air mattress.
Hello?
Oh shit, CJ finally decided to show up.
Finally,
39 minutes later.
Hey, my fault, y'all. Look, I was, first of all, I have way better service now, so I can hear both of y'all clearly. And, because that's.
You actually were really clear last time.
I know, y'all could hear me, but I couldn't hear y'all. It's because I was where I was at. I was in the Southeast. I'm out of being Clinton. I'm in the Uber now, one way to Clinton. So I said, damn, I gotta log in now at least, you know what I'm saying, to see if they still on. Yeah. I said, y'all was still on, so I said, I gotta join right now.
Yeah.
Y'all can go ahead and finish what y'all was saying to each other, and then I can pretty much pick up where y'all was coming from.
Okay. Yeah. But, so, Tony, it's one of those things where a lot of dudes, they say a lot of shit to these girls that they believe, and it's like, oh, great, like, you know, I don't even want to say that the women believe the shit, because they know it's a lie. They just hope that the lie pans out to be something that's the truth. So they're like, you know what? Like, this motherfucker, I know he ain't shit, but I'm hoping that he will actually transition into being something because I'm giving him something that's worthwhile.
I feel like when I would come home, it was, like I said, these young girls that were in college. So the mindset to me, anybody under 25, I just automatically think you're an idiot. Like,
yep.
You may not be, but I just automatically think you are because you're so much younger, how I feel.
Yeah.
And so these girls would be all hugged up on him, and I'm like, I would never see them again. So I'm like, I know for a fact that you have to be telling these girls, you have to be feeding them some sort of lie. A girl that's just getting smacked is not going to be all hugged up on you. She's going to know what it is, come over, get what she came to get, and then go home. Like, you must be feeding these girls some kind of lie to get them to be here, like, in this situation. And I told them, I said, it looks like trash.
Yeah,
like, that's just not how I am. Like, I'm not that kind of person. If I'm dating somebody, and for me, I'm a little past that, you know, random smash thing. Like,
yeah.
It's never been that thing for me. Like, I'm trying to find somebody acting like, all right, where are we going? What are we buying? What house are we buying? Like, what are we doing? Like, we getting married? Like, what is this? Like, we're not going to just date or be doing this for the sake of doing it. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. What's up, Tony?
You know what I'm saying?
Here's what's so funny. I didn't realize, like, who I was and the shit that I was doing until today when I was posting those photos in the group. And I was like, yo, I was wilding the fuck out. Like, literally from like 18 to I would say like 22. Basically, I was in a relationship where the shit didn't work out. And it was a girl that I was like deathly in love with. And, you know, so what I did was when we broke up, I went and wild the fuck out. When I say I wild out, I was doing some shit. I was like, yo, like, if I looked at the stuff that I looked at today, I'm like, yo, like, who is that? I don't even remember most of the people I was in these photos with. I don't remember the scenarios I was in. All I knew is
You blacked out life.
I'm living. But at some point, you gotta understand when either you're living or you're actually living, and it's two different things. Like, a lot of guys think that they're living because they're having fun, and it's not that way. Like, the way that women have taken care of nothing that you need to take care of. Trust me, I got buddies who are like, hey, I'm having fun, I'm hanging out with these girls, blah blah blah. But I'm like, yo, for one, these girls at the age that you are and the age that these girls, like, you know, I was just telling, you know, I was telling Tony, I was like, I have friends who are like 32 who are still hanging out with these chicks who are like 21, and I'm like, yo, I can't even be in the same room with them because we can't
get, my little sister is 20. Yeah. I can't talk to y'all the same way.
Not only, but you know, it's crazy. I came home one day, and it was me and my roommate and these three girls that he was hanging around. Uh-huh. These girls were like 22, 23. Yeah. I'm like, y'all just got legalized to buy alcohol. Like, why are we talking? Anyways, so I came home and I always tell people, man, I don't feel like I'm almost 30. I feel like I'm still 22. Man, that shit goes out the window when you're talking to somebody that's 22. They were talking and I was like, oh my God, these bitches are stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they're and y'all know how I feel about stupidity. I can't deal with stupid people.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I was like, I can't deal with it even. Y'all need a little more experience in life, a little more living in the real world. Like, get a job, go live on your own. Like, I could tell that they had not, their youth was showing. Yeah. And that's when I felt like I was old, because I was telling them, like, your youth is showing. I could tell that you don't know anything. You haven't done anything.
I'm going to tell you a funny story. So, the bar, and this girl, she's having a real good conversation with me. I'm drunk as shit, because I could care less. My thing is, when I'm out at a bar and I'm drunk, like, I can talk to literally the homeless dude that's across the street. It's happened. That's just how I am. So I go and I'm having this conversation with this lady at the bar, with this girl at the bar. And she said something to me. And as soon as she said it, do you know, I literally closed my tab and I walked out. She's like, oh yeah, I don't understand. talking about health insurance, blah, 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 blah. I'm still on my mom's insurance. I have 2 more years. I was like, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
It's time to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't believe you ain't going in the real world yet, Sean. You still on your mom's insurance? You don't have to take care of your health.
You don't know what to pay. You don't even know what it costs out of pocket.
Yeah, to pay insurance. Like, you ain't in the real world yet. Like, chill out, baby.
When she said that to me, I was so fucked up. I was like, wait. Not only do I have someone, but I'm entertaining this conversation because to me it's comical. It's not even like I want to sleep with you. Now. Even nuance in this conversation, like, yo, you don't actually have a clue about life. And it's weird because our parents used to tell us the same shit, like, you don't know this, you don't know this. And even we have like uncles and older siblings and cousins, stuff like that, that used to say the same shit to us. But for us, it was like, y'all just talking just to talk. And then we are now in that same position.
Yeah.
But trust me, I have a cousin that used to slide me condoms on the side, like, hey, you gonna need this. I was like, why in the fuck do I need this? Like, what the fuck is that? Now, bro,
like, give me that.
Let me tell you a funny story. Yeah, we went to Cabo for the bachelor party, right? So we go to the bachelor party and I told my boy, I was like, hey, yo, like, you know, y'all are planning on having fun, because clearly the bachelor party is not made for the bachelor. It's not made for the person.
It's really not. It's for everybody, all his friends. Mm-hmm. That's probably even been married or so that's bachelors. And that's what it's for.
Exactly. So we go, and they like, Greg, man, you about to have so much fun. You about to be drunk. I was like, okay. Like, this is just how I feel about things. So I tell them, I was like, hey, you know, just give me some alcohol. I can drink at the pool. I can get drunk, go to sleep. And this is my vacation right here. I already got enough time and leave off work. Let me just enjoy being in the water and, you know, celebrating the fact that I'm getting married. Do you know, dude says to me, he's like, oh, well, Greg, like, we got to get condoms. I was like, okay, we got to get condoms. They took me to the one fucking place in the world where for some reason there's no CVS, there's no Publix, there's no Walgreens. I'm just saying. So then when we get to like a place that you would think would sell condoms, no condoms. So it's like,
so y'all,
now mind you, this is in Mexico. I don't want to say the exact place because, you know, I don't want any hitters on my head. So that's just what it is. So we go to like 4 or 5 different stores. We finally find condoms. And I tell him, I was like, y'all go get all the condoms y'all need now. Because for one, I'm not doing no fucking. That's just me. I'm not doing no fucking. But y'all get all the condoms y'all need. The dude tells him, he's like, all we have is lambskin. I was like, oh, y'all gonna die. Like, I told him, I was like, y'all gonna die. You might want to go and get the condoms that I told him, I was like, I brought condoms because I knew that y'all idiots were going to forget them. So I went and I gave them the condoms. The first night we were there, they like, oh, well, Greg, like, you know, here we go. Like, you said you got them, right? So I ended up handing them to them. They had their fun for Friday night. Saturday happens, they have their fun. Needless to say, fast forward to, you know, everything that happened with the bachelor party. Greg is the only one that is like, you know what? I had a lot of tacos. I had a lot of fun. I got drunk 4 days, but everybody else did the fucking. So if anybody's listening, like, just know for your bachelor party, you are not doing any fucking. You're not doing anything of dirt. You're not doing any, like, raunchy shit. All you're doing is going and monitoring your friend. So, say. I gotta bring it full circle.
I've been through like 5 bachelor parties. This is cool.
It's weird. So, I mean, going back to what we were talking about with like people who just honestly don't know any better, like when it comes to being single, when it's you being taken and all that other stuff, like you never really know.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh boy, CJ must have just got out.
But because I know if you want to get some more rides, I'll just walk over there. My house is like 2 blocks away.
But, this is gonna be a good. This is gonna be a good one.
On this conversation,
I just want to get some tobacco and then come back.
But no, but going back towards the.
Because I didn't want to inconvenience
Tony. So Your roommate.
I know I'm going to test him up.
Don't worry, TJ, we'll wait. Don't mind us, we'll have a great after segment.
Hello?
Oh yeah.
So he's good now. He's finished flirting with the Uber driver. he's finished flirting. But back to the whole conversation, like, a lot of people don't understand, like, when it comes to, like, growing up a little bit, you don't want to be around that same company or, like, for you know how to grow up. That is weird to me. Like, never. I'm hoping to God I never have to deal with a roommate, because your roommate story scares the shit out of me.
It's crazy because it was like everybody before we became roommates, they were like, "You sure you want to move in with him?" I'm like, "Yeah, it'll be fine." I should have just trusted everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I was sitting here trying to be optimistic and positive, and I'm like, "You, it's not there." And now it's like, we'll never be friends again. Like, I don't care if this nigga, you know what I'm saying? Whatever happens to him. I don't care.
So your roommate, my fault, y'all. I actually had to step away for a second. Your roommate story broke up a friendship?
Oh, it's our friendship. Like, me and him, like, we're frat brothers.
Okay. And okay.
Then, you know, we've been friends, like, how became 2010? It's like, what, 2010?
Mm-hmm.
And then last year we became, you know what I'm saying? He's 29 living at home, still in college, like in undergrad. Supposed to graduate, I guess, next year, supposedly. And I'm like, you know, maybe his mom was like, it'll be good for him to live with someone like you because you'll give him some stability. And, you know, his mom was like, you know, you're grown. You have your own place. I've had my own place since I was, like, my first year of grad school, like, 2013.
Uh-huh.
And she kept telling him, like, you need to get out of my house. You need to go live, like, be like Anthony. Be like Jeremy.
I'm going to elaborate on this whole logic of black families kicking. I'm looking on that ladder, but I got you. I'm listening to your story.
For him, though, it was like, you know, he couldn't afford. Well, in Baltimore, maybe he could have, because I was only making, my first apartment was $6.95 and it was a townhouse, and it was only $16 an hour. I mean, $16. I was only making $16 an hour at my internship. So I was like, you know, I make, you know, a little bit of money now, and I'm like, you know, maybe it'll be good for you. You can get out your dad's house, because your dad is 70. You're 29. You want your own space? Come on. But I felt like you were taking advantage. Like, I'm sitting here. You don't clean. I'm the one cleaning this two-story apartment, big-ass apartment that we got. You don't cook. So I'm the one that's cooking for both of us.
Yeah.
Like, when we first moved in, you were buying groceries. Now you're not buying groceries. You, like, your guests come over and just leave. These girls are, like, leaving all these plates. I'm waking up, it's like dirty pizza pans that they bought.
Oh, yeah.
They coming over, cooking in my kitchen.
It's no order in this job.
It's no order. And that's how his life is. There is no order. And if you meet him and you talk to him, it seems like he has a plan. But then you realize that the plan never comes through.
That's self-confidence.
And I told him, I said, maybe you need a roommate a little more like you. Like, for me, I'm like, I would need a roommate that's more like you. Like, you don't mind being home. You don't mind going, leaving. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need a roommate that's like you. You need somebody that's a little further behind in life than I am. Somebody that's a little more relaxed. Somebody's just going to let anything slide. That's who you need as a roommate. Like, we should have. Uh-huh. Our lifestyles just clashed. Like, you need people around you all the time. I hate people.
Yeah.
I hate your people. Like, you know what I'm saying? My friends come and visit, and I'm like, all right.
Have a great night.
When are y'all going home?
Enjoy your weekend.
Time to go. So, yeah. Shit is wild. I tell people all the time, like, don't get a roommate. I tell my little brother, he's, like, graduating college, and I said, if you need a place to stay, you know, until you find something, and I'm in the area, you know, I'll buy a house, maybe, and you can live with me. But then I was like, nope.
That's when you, I feel like with that, when shit like that going on where, you talking to him, you feel like he got a plan. He don't execute his plan. He don't feel like he don't have the confidence that he think he can put it on. Cause nobody never instilled it into him. And I feel like
it's going to it's going.
It's crazy because both his parents are very level.
You know what though? Mom
is hey,
look at Chris. Chris is so rude. But look though, he's probably like he don't have a real relationship with either one of them. You know what I'm saying? Because
well, he's real close to his dad. He's real close to his mom. His mom is like, I love. She's a life coach.
Did you?
And she's really good at
what okay. She does. When I'm in relationship, I mean relationship to where they know what's going to make him tick to the level to make him operate at his best. Do they know that? Or did,
and it
or,
can be because I'm like, they, if my they, mom was a life coach,
or did they,
I would be.
I feel like that's a part of parenting though. From when you're young, you got to see what make you. You got to know your kids from early. Angle, not just spoiling them, making good. You got to see what make each cat child panic. You got to see them make them work with their best. You got to see them make them focus the best. All that shit is part of knowing your kids.
Well, more importantly, though, it's one of those things where if that's your kid and you know your kid's not built for that situation, why even put them in
you
that
gotta
situation?
Work, yeah, exactly. So, that's all about knowing them. You got to see what... Put them in the best possible situation where you know they're gonna flourish at. Oh, they good at this. If I tweak him towards this, he gonna do his thing. That's what it is.
Like, it's so funny because like for me personally, like I was raised in like all white like elementary and middle schools, right? So when I got to transfer to Puget County schools and. To a basketball league, and I was in KLM, and Kettle Largo. I was like, "Oh shit! Like, it's black people." I was like, "Oh shit! Mm-hmm. It's black people. Fuck! Like, I'm home. Like, this is how I felt. I was like, "Oh shit! Like, not only was my cousins there, I'm like, oh, there's black people who actually are one. There's two different black people. There's black people who are like, you know what? You family because you're here, and then there's black people who are like, oh shit, you're here." Why are you here? I thought I was going to be the only one. I was the special snowflake. Like, and that's just how it's always been my entire life. So the fact that, like, that hold up, I was like, God damn, like, really? Like, I moved to PG County and I still got to deal with, like, that one black person who don't really know what the difference is. I'm like, damn, like, okay, cool. But, oh, shit, wait, did Chris drop out?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I just completely changed it. She's always coming into the group and then leaving the group. She's so special. She's so special. She probably high as shit. She don't realize I'm not editing this part at all.
Oh,
all this shit is going in.
Yeah, she's probably high. Chris, you're high. We all
this
high.
Shit should go in. Chris, when you hear this, just know. We know. Yeah. But we need to transition because we literally been on this topic for like 30 minutes. We gotta like slowly try to transition into God, I have a few things I want to talk about. I don't know if y'all really want to go into this dynamic, but oh shit, and we lost
I'm
CJ
right here.
Too.
I'm back.
I was saying we lost you.
I'm back. Yeah,
it's saying that you
I came
out,
back.
But...
I think we lost Chris.
Okay, so yeah, well, it's saying in the group that you out, but it's okay. We're gonna let it be what it is. So. I want to know, as a guy, like, since Chris is out and I have two guys here, what is something that you've seen from women, at least just, I want to say women in general, just the women that we talk to on a day-to-day basis and, the groups that we're in, what's something that, I want to say frustrates you, but something that you want improvement from or something that you've noticed and you're like, wait, I haven't heard
I want
that
them to be
from
more, I want them
other
to
women
be more,
outside.
I already know you're going to question. And I can write, I already say what you're I want them to be more aware of what the black man in our position that probably grew up similar to them is going through. I want them to be more aware of that.
Yeah.
They're not aware of what we're going through. And it's like they're going through what they want. You know what I'm saying? And it's all society influences. You know what I'm saying? It's all society, all outside influences from society. But it's like, they don't understand what we're really going through. We going through a lot of fucking challenges.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck what your background is. As a black man, you're going through a million challenges every day. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And trust me, I completely agree with you. it's weird because I see, like, when I'm in the group, I don't want to say it sounds like it's a whole bunch of hurt, mm-hmm. but it seems like a lot of people who honestly just haven't sat down with
real shit
anyone and had a conversation. So it's a lot of shit. And even when I go on Instagram and I look on Instagram and Twitter and even Facebook, like, I look at that shit, I'm like, yo, there's a lot of hurt people giving advice about shit they have no fucking clue about. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, God damn. Like, it feels like a lot of people are getting, how can I put it? It feels like a lot of people who just honestly have no information are sharing answers on a test. It's like, wait, you didn't study for this. I didn't study for this.
Everybody going through their experiences. Nobody really studied. Everybody going through their experiences. Yeah. Honestly, that's what's going on. But I feel like I don't.
Or you know, and you don't really know, and you know what I'm saying? Like you hear about, like, as a woman, you know, like, they think their experience is worse than us. We think that our experience is worse than that. And nobody, really sat down and been like, hey, like, I get it. And I'm not going to be like the last. Like, I do think that a woman carry a lot of hurt. I think guys carry hurt too. And no one is ever willing to move on or to, like, understand that experience is not going to dictate all of your experiences.
But that's what scares me, because I've always, when I open the group in the morning, I'm always wondering, I'm like, you know what? When is it going to start? It's going to start soon. I just don't know when it's going to start. It's either going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning, or it's going to start at 1 o'clock in the morning.
But you know what? It's been starting earlier and earlier lately. It really has. It was 9 o'clock. It was jumping. The group was jumping.
It just feels like the warmer it gets, the more problems compound, and the more people are like, you know what? You know, I'm hurt, and I have that hurt here.
That's true.
And then you have the people who have people who are like, you know what? Like, I've dealt with some shit. You're going to hear my shit, and what I say is the gospel. Because honestly, I've been that same way sometimes. Because, I mean, everybody knows, like, okay, Greg ain't single, cool. So, like, okay, I know they think of me as the guy who has the information because he has somebody. And I've always been that advocate for people who is like, you know what? Just because you're single doesn't mean you don't have the information. Like,
exactly.
Trust me, I've been single, and everybody else, like, that is single, trust me, this not single, you know, how can I put it? They are not single because they don't have the information. They're single because they just honestly don't want to tolerate the same shit they've been putting up with for a while. So when I get into the GroupMe groups and I read the things that people are saying, I'm like, have you actually taken the time out to read what you're going to say and think it through before you send it? It's literally like a tweet. It's a text message. It's like you should proofread everything you're about to say before you actually go and make an ass out of yourself.
I should. And you know what? I've made an ass of myself. I don't really care because I'm spontaneous like that anyway. But I've made an ass out of myself in my post, Greg. Like what you just saying right now, I can admit that I've done that a couple of times. And I'm like, I should have thought that through. Because you know what I'm saying? I second guess what I just said. Like, you know what? I shouldn't have said that because that's not what.
But you know what? I'm one of those people. I'm gonna say the truth. I am. I like to get people reaction out of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I'll say stuff just to see where people's heads are. Like, because I can be trolling, and people will get real offended. Like, I just like to say stuff to see what your response is going to be. And sometimes I'm actually being my opinions are 100% concrete. Like, I'm very serious about what I'm saying. And it's just interesting to see people that are my age, and a lot of people in that group are older.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this how you still thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I'm just going to say for all y'all listening, I just need y'all to learn how to spell before y'all.
Hey, nigga, we can't do that because that autocorrect will literally change your shit before you press send. And people try to get their messages off. The flow of the shit go, people try to get their messages off as quick within the timing. They try to get their timing together with it. But it's a timing thing with the typing. That's all it is. Because timing is a central part of it.
Some of these words are blatantly wrong. Some of the spelling is wrong.
But I have noticed, this is just me, because I don't want to say I'm really meticulous, but it's one of those things where I'll stop not because my app is like lagging or some shit like that. I stopped because I'm like, you know what? Either I said something that was wrong, or I'm hoping that someone catches what I said so there's a response. Uh-huh. And that's just usually how groups work. You're like, I'm going to post this GIF and hope somebody likes it. I'm going to say something and hope somebody likes it. I'm going to say anything and hope that someone has a reaction to it. So when people don't have a reaction to it, you, I don't want to say you're mad that they didn't have the reaction, but you're like, that didn't catch the way that I wanted it to catch. So every day when I hear the women in the group, when they're, I don't want to say they're talking at men, but they're talking to the guys in the group, and the guys are like, I heard what you said, but I don't really give a fuck what you're talking about. Like, if we're not talking about, if we're not talking about sex right now, if we're not talking about what gauges me, I don't really give a fuck what you talking about. So
and that's true.
I had to step.
That's true.
But the topic versatility in the group is so amazing. They would just switch from one thing to the next,
one extreme to the, one extreme to another, one from one extreme to another.
But it's funny because then you also find out that they're recycling the topics.
Well, like, I told you, I had a thing today where I was like, damn, am I having deja vu? Like, I literally had this conversation on Tuesday, and now it's Thursday, and I'm having the exact same conversation. And I thought that the answers would change. They didn't. I'm thinking that whatever we're talking about was going to change. That's why I've started leaving, you know, the quote thing. Like, I'll post screenshots of it because I'm like, I want you to realize what you said. Whatever you said a month ago doesn't align with the shit that you are saying now. The shit that people say, like, you may say it in the conversation because that's how you feel. Because honestly, there have been some times I'm like, you know what? I've said some shit, and it could have been like sexually natured or something like that. And honestly, I haven't gotten asked yet. So naturally, my hormones are talking for me. So I'm saying what I'm saying out of hormones. But as soon as I bust that nut, just like any dude who actually is getting sex,
we admitted that. If you start thinking clearly, like, why am I even here?
Yeah.
But
everybody has that clarity. More so men than women. As soon as you bust that nut, like, you sit there and you be like, oh, okay. Like, honestly, I've said to myself after watching X videos and what is it, X and XX and all that other dumb shit. I'm not giving them free. I'm just saying. Like, you watch that shit and you finish doing whatever you're doing, and you're like, what is this filth? Like, what the fuck am what? Who am I? Like, I was a Christian.
They just feel like trash.
Yeah, you feel like utter trash after that. But you know for a fact that it got you where you wanted to go. So, you know, saying that when it comes to the group, I listen to, you know, I don't want to say I listen, but I see what the women say in the group, and I understand and I sympathize with the way that they say they, you know, men ain't shit, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, at what point are men not shit? And at are you just honestly not comprehending that the men that you talk to not only aren't shit, right, but
you've made a pattern.
Yeah. Within yourself. Like,
yeah.
Right. Like, that comes from you.
Yeah.
Like, these trash people that you're going after, that's all on you.
Yeah.
Maybe the first one, like, you might day one, but maybe even two. But after that, if it's a continuous thing,
yeah,
that's not
pretty
us,
much
that's
once
you.
They start doing the generalized statements of just bashing all the whole
exactly.
shit, that's when it's like, you're,
you know funny,
that's all you're attracting.
Ross be famous for saying, y'all need to let that hurt go.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when he first started saying it, like a year ago, like, people were like, ain't no hurt, da da da. But it's funny because you can see. Or somebody has been hurt in a relationship and they haven't gotten
over it.
But from what I've learned is the most disrespectful thing you can say to a woman is that she's hurt. She's triggered. Because women feel as though, like, that's something that I should be able to display to you, because not only are you a man, but you should be, you know, you should be able to understand, because you have women in your life that have probably gone through the exact same thing. So it's something like, just use your brain a little bit. However, like, I see that sentiment, but at the same time, it's like, I can't gauge your 12 o'clock from your 8 o'clock. So you tell me something at noon when you're like, you know what, men ain't shit, blah, 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 and then at 8 o'clock, you're like, you
also got to take into account that everybody got a damn persona on the internet, so
Everybody.
They had a persona. It's like, trust me. It's like your celebrity. Man. It's your celebrity.
Yeah. But the thing is, everybody's a celebrity on the internet. You can literally say some shit and it can make you famous like that. Think about it. Soulja Boy, we ain't seen that motherfucker in a while, but we know for a fact that he's famous because of ringtones and fucking hitting that Soulja Boy. Like, that's him. I don't, like, the Millie Rock and even the little dude that did the flaws and shit like that. Do you know I took a fucking Instagram 2 days ago of me doing the flaws? I don't even know who did the flaws. I know for a fact it's a dance and it was popular. You know what? I did it and it was cool. But it's one of those things where you're doing it not for the people who are watching, but you're doing it because you're hoping that the people are watching see this shit. And it's a really distinct difference in, like, the whole social media thing. That's why, you know, when Tony and I were talking about MySpace and stuff earlier, we're like, those days are kind of dead. Like, where you knew...
Not kind of. They're dead. Don't ever log into a MySpace again.
Yeah, please. Anybody listening, don't log into
MySpace. Man, I deleted my page in 2008. And I deleted the whole page. Like, I'm about to go and be up here. You can't trace me on MySpace. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. At least my MySpace is still open. I don't know about my Black plan.
I deleted that joint. I said, fuck it, this shit dead.
But
there's nothing good coming from that.
So let me ask you both. Was your MySpace, is your social media, like your Instagram, your Snapchat, and all the other stuff, is it for you or is it for the hoes? When I say the hoes, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just saying, are you doing this for the people who see it, or are you doing it because these are the things that you are living and that is you and that's your lifestyle?
This is exactly what I'm going to tell you, like, when I use my you can kind of pretty much tell a person's mentality from what they post, uh-huh. pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. So I did start off on social media posting way too much information about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, don't expose this much. So now, as most recent, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, because I have my Instagram. I don't delete no. You know, a lot of people delete all their photos and start over.
Exactly.
Like, you can go back to my 2013 on my Instagram. You can see how I was posting from then. You know what I mean? But I noticed now I don't take no selfies. My shit is either jokes or inspiration. That's it. I either up on laugh, or I'm going to inspire. That's all the fuck going on my Instagram right now. And, you know, I'm going to show you I'm living okay a little bit. I'm not poor. That's it. Like, I'm not poor. And, yeah, I'm just speaking inspiration and I'm speaking jokes. That's all that's going on. Oh, and I'm just sending birthday shout-outs. That's it. That's about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I don't even... I mean, Facebook just helps with knowing whose birthday is when, because I should probably be a better friend because I don't know anybody's birthday. But, like, for me, I think, like, I post a lot, on social media because sometimes I like to share my thoughts, and I didn't really have a platform to do it. Like, I'm not a people person. I don't talk to a lot of people. So it was like, man, I can post this. I can post my status. I can be funny on the internet. You can be whatever you want to on the internet. And then it was like when life started getting real for me, I was like, man, I could be using this platform to do other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like Instagram, like a couple years ago, I started doing my fitness stuff. So it's like, all right, I'm going to show everybody I'm running. Maybe that'll help people be motivated to get out and do something. Go to the gym. I'm at the gym. And people get irritated when they see people in the gym all the time on social media. And it's like, I don't think so much people want to be like seen, like, oh, I'm on the gym. It's like, get healthier. Like, get to the gym. But then it was like when I started having like anxiety attacks and panic attacks, depression, and then like on and off with medication. It was like so much stuff that had never happened before. And I had posted it because I was like, ultimately it was like a cry for help. But then it was like people sending me messages like, man, the same shit's happening to me. Thank you for saying something. Like, I didn't know that other people were going through this.
Yep.
And I was like, now I feel like I can use this to do something else. So I was like, man, I can post my cooking online. I started posting like my food and stuff online. I can post like inspirational quotes. Like, I don't have to post that I'm doing something all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, and sometimes you need to get away from social media because you get wrapped up in other people's life.
Mm-hmm. You do, like celebrities, like, and shit. Yeah.
Or people you know. Like, man, so-and-so done got married. So-and-so, like, people get bitter when they see people get married. Like, so-and-so got married. Somebody done had kids. Somebody doing this. Or somebody even got a relationship. Somebody out the country, you know. Go live your life.
Exactly. Live your own fucking life, man. And stop living there.
Mm-hmm. Or stop being involved in it. You get so involved in people that, like, a lot of people, like, that I follow, that follow me. I don't know them, but they like frat. They like either Mason or Alpha, AKA, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I don't even know those people, but I know so much about their life. I know somebody done had a kid. Ain't never seen the father of the kid, but it's just the mother and kid all the time. Like, you know, like, oh, they must not be doing too well because they're not posting pictures together no more.
Yep.
I know your kid done, somebody done graduate. You know what I'm saying? I know so much about other people's life. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not healthy to me. Like, we shouldn't be that connected in that way.
So exactly. So what y'all think about this? Or you know, you both of y'all have definitely have a very analytical perspective on things. So how do y'all feel about how if you post an Instagram video, you have a lot more viewers than if you post a pic? The people won't like many of your pics, but they look at all your videos. But they won't like your pics.
Well, yeah, that's like right. So if you post a video, they have to. They, you can tell people seeing it
because they probably just go through the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, they have to look at it in order for it to show that somebody like that somebody looked at it. And even if you refresh your own video and just keep looking at it, it'll show that somebody else looked at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't like it, and you have people that are like lurkers, and they may never like anything, but they always on your page, you know what I'm saying? Or always at least see what you put on the page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll post a video of me singing, and I'll get all these views. I'm like, damn, people actually look at my account like that? So, you know, like, they may not like a post that I had posted, but I can tell that they at least see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's for me, personally, like, when I look at social media, I'm like, okay, it's Instagram, it's Facebook, it's Twitter, stuff like that. It's always in perspective of what you to see. That's why whenever, like, I know for a fact that I'm on Snapchat, whenever I realize, like, what I'm doing, if I'm at a concert or something like that, when the shit's not popping, I just literally turn the shit off. I'm locking the phone, I'm turning the camera off and stuff like that, because I know for a fact that the shit isn't where I want it to be. And the fact that you know you can make yourself look better on social media by being in a scenario where shit is actually going down. Like, you can be at Broccoli Fest and you're like, oh, well, for the next 8 hours, I know for a fact it's popping, so I'm doing that. Now, like, even though this is, like, our first day at podcasts and stuff like that, I've listened to podcasts day in and day out, and even though podcasts for me, like, when I listen to them, I'm like, damn, like, y'all still feel like y'all holding back. Like, a lot of people will say some shit for clicks, same way they do on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook like that. Like, y'all are doing it for the likes. Y'all not doing it because that's exactly how you feel.
Exactly.
So when we had this podcast, and even the first podcast, I knew for a fact that what you know, what the four of us have said has been exactly what we felt. We may regret this shit if we ever decided, you know.
I feel differently.
In 10 years. I feel differently. Like, I know for a fact that if Trump tomorrow, he's like, you know what? Black people are the greatest race in the world. Fuck white people. I'm not even white. I'm orange and fuck all that. Just know, I hate everybody. Like, if he said that shit after all the shit I've talked about,
you gotta earn some respect.
3 hours,
you're like, you know what? Yeah. I respect it because he's very real.
Yeah, I respect it, but at the same time, I said exactly what the fuck I said, and a lot of people in this new social climate, they don't stand on the shit they say. So it's weird being in this, like, I don't want to say this, like, this sphere of, like, life and social media, because it happens even in our groups where a lot of people say shit they won't do, knowing goddamn well they would do it. Like, there are women, like, when dudes say to me, like, oh, I don't eat ass. Oh, I appreciate the fact that you don't. Just know, there are women out here who will, honestly, if you don't, they're not fucking with you.
That's just from the jump. They can't even fall in love with you if you don't get
engaged. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's a an honest to God comment. Like, I've talked to women in the group privately. You know, they've hit me up. I've hit them up. Because, I mean, that's just how I need to know. I've always been one of those people where I just need to have the information before I even go to another party with that. So when I hear guys being like, the things that I don't do this, I don't do that, I'm like, that doesn't plead your case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you just told a woman what you're not going to do, so that doesn't.
But they can say what they're not going to do. Why the fuck can't we say we're not going to do stuff? You know what I mean?
And honestly, that is fair. However, a woman not only dictates. You know, I'm sorry, Jesus, I'm all over the place.
But... No, I know you're about to go to. Yeah.
I was taking it there, but I was waiting for the dictate versus dictate. But still, so the way that. At least that I've gathered from a woman is it's not about us. The physical thing isn't about us. The things that we do is not about the guy. So when we're in these groups and women are literally in the group telling the guys, they're like, hey, I don't like this. I like this. If you do this, this is fine. If you don't do this, I don't fuck with it.
They all give you a playbook.
Exactly. They've had a playbook for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the fact that dudes are like, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, that doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever you're saying, that shit don't help. I'm like, goddamn.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine going and you're with a woman and you're having, I won't even say relations, but you're having intercourse with a woman. And she says, hey, like, I feel like this is the mood that I want to be in, and I want you to go south. Okay. And you tell her, I don't do that. That ain't me. Okay. If that's not you, you can't be mad at her for being like, well, I'm not going to be doing you as well. I'm not going to reciprocate groups. And the dudes are like, well, I ain't doing shit if this girl ain't doing it. I'm like, nigga, this ain't about you.
Yeah, it ain't. You're right.
Shit is weird, man. Maybe I'm a little bit too old for life. So
once you're over 30, y'all kind of a different breed. Once you get
up there. Oh no, yeah, because we look. This is what I'm gonna tell you. How old are you, Tony?
I'm 29. I'll be there at 50.
Hey, don't get next year.
Wait, did he just really pull that one?
January. Look,
oh boy.
I'm gonna tell y'all something. I don't know what Greg experienced when he turned 30, but when I turned 30, I feel like a lot of people are gonna go through this, but it's okay, and it's okay to go through it. This is how I got through it. Last year when I turned 30, I didn't want to do nothing big. I didn't want to do anything special for myself.
So.
My family took me out to echo. Oh, okay.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.